feelings do not dictate your obedience. The Word of God should override all of that. If God said wait, then you wait, regardless of what you see, you think, or feel.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, I'm Joshua Hollick. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, and I'm wondering, are you new to Chicagoland? Have you moved and not landed in a healthy church home yet? My prayer for you, and our prayer for you and Pastor Mark's here at Straight Talk, is that you would find a strong, healthy church to be a part of, to invest in, and also to grow with. I know for me, over the last 17 years, being a part of a vibrant church has been one of the greatest things that has helped me grow in my walk with faith. It's helped my family grow. It's helped me develop in every area of my life. And we're praying that you would find a great church to be a part of, especially if you're new to the area. You got to come and visit us. We're in your neighborhood probably. There's 23 locations around the city of Chicagoland. And you can find out more at www.newlifechicago.org. There's lots of great churches in the city, and we pray that you would find one of them. If you're having a hard time, come and give us a visit. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning in English, in Spanish, and even in Mandarin. So check us out at newlifechicago.org and find a church somewhere and get involved. May God bless you, and may He bless the local congregation in your neighborhood.
Thanks, Josh. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us again for another edition of Straight Talk. Tonight, we continue on with our current series called Rise, Live Your Best Life. And tonight is the second half of our message called Courage. Our text will be found in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
In your mind, you have your hand on the exit door of compromise. You have your hand on that door that you know you shouldn't go through, but what you don't know is right around the corner that you can't see, God has a solution. And some of us, right before God's solution, we exit through the wrong door. Here's what I've discovered, though. Oftentimes, fear... You see, Saul's problem was he feared men more than he feared God. And the Bible says that as he saw the people scattering and he watched his armies quake and tremble, he began to fear that he was losing control. He began to feel fear that his armies were going to scatter, that he would lose control of his men, and if he went to face the Philistines, they would lose the battle. And so he began to fear like, hey, I have to control this situation. And listen, I want you to understand that fear of losing control will cause us to step into roles and assume roles that aren't ours to take. So he was a king, not a priest. And because he felt like he was losing control of the crowd, he decided, okay, I know I'm a king, and I know I'm not supposed to offer burnt offerings, but I'm going to switch roles to keep control, and I'm going to step into a role that's not mine. Because I don't want to lose control of this situation. You see, he knew that only a priest would offer sacrifice, offering. That you had to be of the lineage of Aaron. That you had to be trained and set apart and sanctified for this role. But because he felt like he was losing control, he stepped into a role that wasn't his. Now, I believe that we do that all the time in life. I believe that some of you married women, your husband isn't, you know, he's not going down the road you like him to go. And so you assume the role of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be the paraclete, the one that comes along and helps. You become the paraclete to the paraclete. You decide, I'm going to help the Holy Spirit. And so you become sort of the fourth person of the Godhead. You feel like, yeah, well, my husband's okay, but he really needs me to help convict him a little bit more and to challenge him. And so you take it on your job to help bring conviction upon your husband, to tell him when he's wrong, to tell him what he needs to do. And you say, well, he's not quite listening to God, so maybe he'll listen to me. And listen, that's not your role. You know, it's not your role. Your husband has a Holy Spirit that's going to bring conviction on him, and he doesn't need two Holy Spirits. And by the way, let me tell you, is it working? Because what really happens is it doesn't work. What happens is your husband gets angry, anxious, he pulls away, and you feel like, I'm a nag now because I'm nagging. Can you change this? Can you do this? And you know, it ends up backfiring because God never called you to be your husband's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Listen, some of you, oh, we're going to have a big conversation. We have a big conversation after service there. Listen, some of you have sons and daughters that are going through a tough time. And you really want them to go in the right direction, and you really want them to follow God. But you're called to be a parent. But instead of being a parent, you become a detective. And you become a jailer. And you assume this role of controlling their lives when God never called you to control their life. God called you to become a parent, to coach their lives and love them. But you assume a role that's not yours to take on because you're afraid, I'm losing control. And let me tell you, the bottom line of anxiety and fear is this. Fear is always driven and flamed by the fact that I can't control the situations. In fact, think about it for a moment. The things that cause you to be most anxious in life are the things that you cannot control in life. Now think about it for a second. What causes you to be anxious? What causes you to toss and turn at night? What makes you chew your fingernails at work? What causes you to lose concentration when you're supposed to be inputting data onto your computer and you find yourself daydreaming a little bit? What causes your stomach to get up in knots at times? If you can mention the top three or four things that do that, I can guarantee you that those things that cause you to be most anxious in life are those things that you have no control over. Can you really control the fact that your job is talking about downsizing? Is worrying about downsizing rumors really? Can you change anything about it? Are you able to change the report that comes back from a doctor when you're waiting for that mammogram test result to come back to you? Is your worrying really able to change any of that? By worrying a lot, can you really change the course of your 15-year-old son or daughter and who they hang out with and what's happening at school? Does your worry really change anything? You see, our anxiety and worry is based on the fact that we are trying to control things that we have no power over. And I believe that what God tells us to do is don't be anxious about anything, like he tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's a point in time where we are responsible for what God has entrusted to us. And the things that we have no control over, we say, God, I'm not going to try to control it. I'm going to release it to the person that has authority and power to control it, to God Almighty. You see, that's where Saul failed. Because Saul took on the role of a priest in order to control his situation. It reminds me a little bit of 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. Do you remember the story of King Uzziah? King Uzziah lived during the time of Isaiah the prophet. And in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, but you may not know this story about Uzziah. Uzziah was a king, but when he rose in power, he had arrogance and pride, and I think mixed with fear of losing control. And it tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16, that Uzziah became powerful. His pride led him to a downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple. One day, he marched down the city streets. He walked right into the temple, although he was a king and not a priest. And he went right through the priest that tried to oppose him and said, no, this is not your place. He went to the altar of the living God, and he said, I will sacrifice on this altar. The priests were flabbergasted, rose up and opposed him. Don't, Uzziah. Yet in his pride, In his desire to control, he did it anyways. And the Bible says that as soon as he did that, as soon as he approached the altar, that leprosy broke out on his forehead. And he ran out of the temple from that day on a leper, and he died the death of the leper. Why? He tried to assume a role that wasn't his. Let me tell you, God has a place for you, a role for you. God has called you to be something, and he's not called you to be other things. You need to embrace the role that you have. You need to say, this is what I'm called to do, and that's what I can't do, God. And I'm not going to worry about those things. I'm not going to try to control life around me by all those other things. But God, I'm going to do what you have placed in front of me to do. I'm going to live with courage, trusting you, not in fear of losing control. Let's just get rid of it right now. Listen, just tell the person around, you can't control your world. Come on, just tell someone, you cannot control your world. So would you stop trying to control your world? You can't. So stop. Stop trying to control people and the world around you. Number three, I want you to jot this down. A heart lacking courage will tend to rationalize disobedience and spiritualize compromise. Notice what it says. As soon as Saul had offered up the sacrifice before God, Samuel appears and he says, "What have you done?" And I love Saul's response, because it is so typical of people that don't want to take responsibility for their wrongdoing. Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering, that you did not come at the set time," by the way, you were late, and so, hey, what other options did I have? "And that the Philistines were assembling, and I thought, now that the Philistines have come against me at Gilgal, I have not sought the Lord." So now he's putting a spiritual twist on it. I just wanted to serve God and seek him. And so I felt compelled to offer this burnt offering. Now I want you to notice three words that come in the NIV. I saw, I thought, and I felt.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Courage, which is from our series called Rise, Live Your Best Life. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Courage.
Here's what we need to understand. The Word of God overrides what you see, what you think, and what you feel. See, Saul says, well, I saw, my eyes saw that they were gathering, and I thought to myself, I have an offering to God, and then I felt compelled. You see, he was looking inside, I saw, I thought, I felt, but what he missed was, but what did God say? You see, the Word of God overrides what you see, what you think, and what you feel. Because the Word of God is bigger than what you see. It's bigger than what you think. And it's much bigger than what you feel. Your feelings are subject to the Word of God. The Word of God and the purposes of God are greater than what you see with your natural eyes. Your mind does not even begin to grasp the complexities of the mind of God. And the highest thoughts of man are lower than the lowest thoughts of God. Who can understand his ways? Who can even begin to discern the thoughts of God? And so your thoughts are not the thoughts of God, and your feelings do not dictate your obedience. The Word of God should override all of that. If God said wait, then you wait, regardless of what you see, you think, or feel. See, I run into a lot of believers that live their lives based on what they see, what they think, and what they feel. That's called immaturity. You need to ask yourself, what did the Word of God say? What has God already revealed in his Word? In fact, can I just let you know that I've seen a lot of people try to rationalize and justify things by what they see, think, or feel. I've had some incredible conversations with people. I've sat down with married men that will explain to me 45 minutes why it was the will of God that they would have an affair with another woman. But, well, you know, God brought her into my life at the right time and we met. I wasn't looking, but she was there and God brought her and knew exactly what I meant. And my marriage was falling apart anyway. So, you know, it just was God's way of giving hope into my life. And now I'm much more happy. Whoa, wait a second. You're telling me that you really think that God brought an affair into your life? Is that what you're telling me? Well, I saw it, I thought, I felt. I had a conversation not too long ago with a friend of mine that was really living for God and really walking in God. And I respected this guy and God was using him. But I sat down and had a 2-hour conversation as this fella who had struggled with homosexuality went on to describe to me how he now was living with a pastor's son. He had moved in with this pastor's and they're gay lovers now. And he sat down and tried to explain to me for 2 hours why it was the will of God. How God had brought him into his life and how, well, Scripture, you can't really always interpret Scripture the way Scripture sounds. And if God wants us to be happy and made him that way, well, you know, God brought them in and connected them and now he's spiritually on target and alive and he's living in the will of God. And so this is the will of God. And how could God say one thing and not want him to be happy? And if God wired him that way, how could God not allow him to go this way? And for 2 hours explaining to me how he thought, how he felt, and how he saw, regardless of what the Word of God says. And what we need to understand is that you and I have a fallen mind and a fallen heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what? You can't always trust your heart. I know it's Hollywood tells us, always trust your gut. Always trust your heart. Can I tell you something? You can't not trust your heart. Your heart is not trustworthy. Because your heart sometimes will tell you the wrong thing. I've had young girls that are head over heels in love with someone. Well, my heart tells me and I know he's the... And 2 years later, they're, what was I thinking? How come no one told me? Well, you were trusting your heart. And your heart was way off. Because what you should have been doing is trusting the Word, not your heart. Can I tell you, your heart lies. Some of you are here today and you feel like God doesn't love you. That's a lie. He does love you, but your heart doesn't sense it. Some of you here feel like God is 1,000 miles away and that you cannot pray and that the heavens are brass and that there is steel between you and God and that there's no way that he cares about you or no way that your prayers are even coming close to the throne of God. And your heart feels that way, but I want to tell you, your heart cannot be trusted because your prayers do connect with the heart of God. And some of you are here and you feel like my sins cannot be forgiven because what I have done can never in this lifetime or the next be erased because my sins are too great. And I want to say your heart cannot be trusted because the Word of God says that every sin can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, you know what? You may be here today and say, you know what? My heart feels like there's no hope for my life here. That I'm beyond repair. That God could never change me. Maybe you walked in this morning and you said, you know, there's a bunch of religious people and they clap and they raise their hands. They seem to know their Bibles. When you said, open your Bibles, they all had one. I don't even have one. You said, turn to 1 Samuel and I didn't even know there was a 1 Samuel. I spent my whole time trying to look for it. And I feel real out of place in this place because I'm not very religious. My heart tells me I could never be like one of them because they seem so cleaned up, so godly. I mean, when they raise their hands in worship, they seem like they really know God. I don't think I could ever be like that. That's what your heart tells you. But I want to tell you the Word of God is bigger than that. Because maybe 3 years ago, some of the very people that you look at and say, wow, they look like they're close to God, were thinking the same thing. And God has turned them around, touched their life, forgiven, saved, washed, cleansed, renewed. That's the power of God. The power of God to do so. So I want to close with this. I want to remind you that the decisions that you make out of fear of man rather than trust in God will ultimately destroy your destiny. You see, Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but who trusts in the Lord is kept safe. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of man, when you're afraid of man, when your eyes are set on men. That's what Saul was. Saul was a man pleaser. He looked at men. He was super insecure. And so he looked at men. He tried to grab onto his position. David looked at God. David was a sinner. And in certain ways, he sinned worse than Saul, but he was God conscious instead of man conscious. And he cared about what God thought about him. What do you think about me, God? And when he sinned finally and came to the realization that he has sinned, he was just aware about God. He wasn't playing a political game. Let me ask you today, do you fear man more or God more? Is your question, what do people think about me? Is your question today, what does God think about me today? Do you have the courage to go to the hard places? Are you driven by fear in your life? Is it fear and anxiety driving you? Or is it courage to admit that you're wrong? Courage to release things to God. Courage to do what's right in spite of how you feel, in spite of the fear that drives you. Courage to do what's right regardless of what other people are thinking about it. Courage to say, God, I will trust you and follow you. You see, that's the difference between people that climb up the ladder and people that climb down the ladder. It's courage. I'm going to ask that we stand right now. As the musicians make their way to the stage, I want to close this time with a word of prayer. And as I've been speaking this morning, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to some of your hearts. And there are some of you today that for the very first time in your life, your heart has been ignited by the words that you've heard. And it's not the ignition of a man speaking, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit drawing you to your Creator. There's some of you here today that you feel so far from God. You don't have a real strong relationship. And you say, well, Mark, I believed in God, but I don't know God. But I know I need to be right with God. I know I do. And as you've been talking, I've been living my life out of fear without a lot of courage. But as you've been speaking, I want to have a right relationship with God. And I want to tell you, it takes courage to get things right with God. It takes a willingness to say, I'm going to be bold and say, that's what I need. And I don't care what other people think. Because I'm not here about, it's not about other people and how bad people think I am or good people think I am. But it's really about me and God. It's about me and God. And there are some of you in this auditorium today that maybe you have never made a clear-cut decision to follow Jesus Christ. You're here and you say, Pastor, I need to make things right with God. But I know I've never given my life over to God. I know I need to, but I've never done it. But today as you're speaking, I've sensed that God is saying, today is the day, now is the time, now's the moment to come to Jesus, to come to God through Jesus Christ, regardless of who's around you or not around you, and say, today I need God. I need to give my life over to God. I need to believe that He can save me and change me. I need to release control of my life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and invite the Spirit of the living God to come and to cleanse me and to change me from the inside out. Today I know I need to make that decision.
This has been our message entitled Courage. Join us again on Straight Talk as we continue with our series called Rise, Live Your Best Life. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and do tell a friend about our series. Have a great night, and God bless.